music from Sherry Kagi, Sweet Peace of God, the name of the song. We also heard from Chris Rice, great song he calls Naive, and it's 8.5 minutes now after the hour. It's a Monday morning, and we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, member of the Board of Creation Moments, and our resident biochemist. And, well, Don, good morning. Happy Monday to you.
Well, good morning. Yes, it's a bright, crisp morning here.
Nice day down in Texas, huh?
It is. It's a beautiful day so far. We had we only got up to 80s yesterday. So
I didn't want to.
We had a bit of rain apparently on Friday, and since then it's been nice and crisp and cool. So it's good.
Okay. Well, it's turned to autumn here, and we feel that here in the Lake Region of East Dakota. It was a cool day yesterday, but and windy. But today, bright sunshine, gorgeous sunrise. So apparently the day is a go. The sun came up, and I kept looking for the skies to peel back and someone to come in on a right white horse. It didn't happen this morning, so I think we have a full day ahead of us at least.
Well, that's good.
I don't know why I think he'll come in the morning, though. And it would have to be on the other side of the world. It would have to be a different time, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe he wants to wait till after the show.
Well, that would be... I would appreciate that, yeah.
It could be a regular.
It could happen any minute then, couldn't it?
It could be a regular. Maybe he listens on his Mac Air.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I keep looking over there, and I'm looking forward to that day. Dr. Don, again, with Creation Moments, and we talk about science versus faith, and we talk about creation and evolution, and we talk about GMO foods and organic farming and all kinds of things that have to do with science. And Don has brought up another topic today of great interest. But first, Don, I want to zero in on this branch of science, and I also want to ask you, you know, what portion of it is science? Dealing with fossils and old bones and ancient civilizations and at least from the DNA perspective, I don't know how even to refer to it. We talk about ancient cultures and different species of people. What is that field of science called? Is that paleontology?
Paleontology, yes. If you're talking about ancient civilizations, it's paleontology. Mm-hmm. Or what's the other one? Anthropology.
Anthropology. That would be people, though. That would be people, as opposed to say animals or old buildings.
Right. Okay. Right. Anthropology deals with ancient societies, and paleontology is ancient anything else, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's old stuff, and how much of anthropology then is science based rather than speculative? If you get my drift there.
Well, if you can imagine, you're looking at pieces of, let's say, a city or a community, whether it be clay pots, whether it be tools that, you know, a society used, whether it be some type of housing structure, either a cave or, you know, actual remains from some type of building. That's what you have to go on. And
so what you do is you unearth clues.
Obviously some bones, and it could be bones of humans, could be bones of animals.
Mm-hmm. Then that would require science to determine the difference, wouldn't it? I mean, that's laboratory work then at that point, whether it's an animal or a human bone.
I'm losing you.
Oh, are you? Oh, I hate that to happen. I guess the question is, we talk with John Delancey on every Tuesday about archaeological matters. And archaeology, they dig in the ground, they find old stuff, usually not tissue, not animal or vegetable, but mineral stuff, stone things, and occasionally there's wooden artifacts and old tools, and they tell how old it is by kind of how deep it is. Oh, I think we've lost him at all together. Boy, I hate it when that happens.
And, yeah.
Dr. Don has complained a number of times about his internet source. I'm thinking we're doing okay on this end. So I think what we'll do is we'll attempt to reconnect with Dr. Don, because this topic is something I don't want to just forfeit here. We'll hear from Willie and Bobby Nelson first, and then we'll come back with Dr. Don in a few minutes. Willie and Bobby McGee together. I'm sorry, that's Bobby McGee. That's a whole different guy, isn't it? Willie and Bobby Nelson have a little talk with Jesus. 18 minutes after. Well, I'm preoccupied here. We're trying to get Dr. Don back. We were so rudely interrupted there by technology or the lack thereof. So we'll kind of go with what we were talking about. And I was asking Dr. Don how much of paleontology and anthropology in particular is done in labs is the gist of this. Well, how much of it is science? How much of it is just detective work and putting clues together and making an educated guess? And this we kind of relate this to the Neanderthals or Neanderthals maybe is the correct pronunciation, and some of the new thinking that's going on with respect to that group of humans or not humans, however, you know, whatever side of the fence you fall on. But Don, in anthropology, is it 10% science and 90% guesswork, or is there some way to judge that? Because I want to know how reliable these findings are. How faithful, how much trust can I have in this information?
Well, I mean, if you, for example, if you find a community, I think sure, there's guesswork because you weren't there at the time. That's the problem. I mean, you know, if you find an ancient civilization or remains of evidence of a community, and it, you know, it could be a couple of weeks old, or it could be,
well, here's a hypothetical example. They walk into a cave, they discover cave paintings, and I'm not sure how they date that, but let's say they assume it's 50,000 years old, and there are paintings of animals there, and one anthropologist might conclude, oh, they worship this animal, and the one next to him might say, no, they just thought they were pretty. You know,
right.
Kind of making assumptions about the motivation of these people, and then determining, say, their intelligence level on the basis of that, or how complex their culture and society was, and it seems to me that's where we can go wrong.
Yeah, well, very much so, because we can't get inside their heads, obviously, and what was the motivation, behind what they did. Now, in some cases, you can see what looks like a tool and determine, well, what was this used for, and find evidence of that, and that is probably a little more concrete than trying to figure out what did they. What did they do with this structure, or why did they, you know, paint these things, on the walls, other than this is what they were seeing at the time. I mean, that's a whole another discussion, because there's some interesting wall paintings around the world that indicate that they're dinosaurs, and people were watching and looking at dinosaurs, so they painted them. But that's a totally different discussion than this.
Well, yeah, we ought to have that one sometime too. But this one does refer to, I'm looking at an article over at am.org. It's a blog site and has a lot of interesting stuff. We'll post this link with the podcast later today. But this particular article has to do with bones, deer rib bones, that were used apparently. Now, is this assumption or fact or knowledge? That they worked leather with these things. They've got a drawing here of hands using this rib bone to soften and burnish leather, and the Neanderthals were known to have worn leather clothing and so forth, and they still use similar tools today, including bone, to work leather. So are we looking backwards and saying, well, this must have been the origin of that tool, and these people were capable of devising these tools, or are we even guessing that they used it on leather? I mean, how would we know?
Well, how the bone was worn, for example, on the tip in particular, and how the bone fragments that they might have found around those type of bones can give you clues as to what this was used for, and apparently that's what they've done. Mm-hmm. And apparently it does look like this is a leather working tool. Now, it's interesting, tools shaped like this we even have today. So we might be a little bit more sure that, okay, this was indeed shaped specifically for working leather. So, that's what they presuppose.
Well, we know that these people would have had a need to work leather because they used it in war. They know that. So that somebody had to manufacture things, deer skins and, or animal hides, and make it useful. And they're saying that this working the surface of the leather with these bones would, for example, make it more impermeable to water. So more waterproof clothing. And so that there was really some thought and some design and some engineering to all this. And that leads some of us to say, well, maybe these people weren't as primitive, whatever that means, as we thought.
Exactly. That is the conclusion that one, you know, draws from this particular finding. And interestingly enough, the Neanderthals were in Europe before the Europeans were in Europe. And so if they indeed had tools, then they were smarter than, let's say, the evolutionists would have thought or surmised. And it seems, based on the migration of the peoples, you know, up into Europe, their tools for making for working with leather were pointed, and before actually entering Europe. And then after they got to Europe, their tools were deer ribs and rounded like the Neanderthals. Mm-hmm. So the conclusion is, well, the Neanderthals taught them how to make a better tool, in essence.
Is the word primitive a scientific term? It seems to me when someone, a layman like me, hears the word primitive, I assume certain qualities about this primitive. One would be low technology, and I'm ashamed to say low understanding, low intelligence, that's where we can go wrong, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the connotation. And, you know, primitive is, I don't think these people were primitive at all. In matter of fact, they probably were very, very smart and obviously were able to, you know, survive in various ways and, you know, make tools and probably, you know, I'm sure they had communication skills and all of these things that we would think a primitive society would have limited communication. They would forage and not be able to basically make tools for themselves, and these folks appear to be anything but that.
See, primitive is actually the way that we understand the word is actually the buying into this notion that we have evolved from something.
Exactly.
Primitive means in prima, in Latin for one, or a derivation of, means the first or a basic form or the earliest form that there is. And then so we make the assumption that obviously primitive are not nearly as smart and good looking as we are.
Well, they don't have cell phones.
Yeah, and they don't have cell phones, and they certainly don't have Skype. Well, I don't know that.
I think Skype has us.
Personally, I think, but the basic definition suggests that there is a predisposition to the notion of evolution of this has to exist and then this has to exist and then this has to exist. I'm not sure which page I was reading on, but there's also the predisposition that tool making has to evolve from someone, and that somebody somewhere along the line didn't say, "Hey, I wonder if I rounded the edge, would that make the deer hides not as or more water repellent?" You know, an individual creation, an individual thought. Mm-hmm. The notion that maybe is this just a Western idea? I wonder. A Greek formed idea that we have to evolve, that things have to be linear. I don't know.
Don, does evolution account somehow for intelligent innovation? You know, a concerted effort to change things on the part of a human mind or an animal mind, for that matter?
Well, it would presuppose somewhere along the line we had an evolutionary jump.
But that suggests like DNA, that's slow, gradual stuff. I mean, what about some guy saying, hey, I think I'll take a stick, put a point on it, and shoot it at that animal?
Yeah, no,
because I'm tired of throwing rocks. So yeah.
It doesn't fit the evolutionary model. Mm-hmm. Until you have, they would pass it off and say, well, that particular species had an evolutionary jump somewhere along the line, mm-hmm. so that they could have enough intelligence to start this creative activity, mm-hmm. Instead of the creation model, which basically says, you know, we were smart from the beginning, we were made in God's image, of course we had creative abilities, and of course we could reason these things out, and so therefore, why not make tools, and why not, make various things to make our life a little bit easier, for example.
So an evolutionist would include intelligence as evolving as well. That is more sophisticated thought, more complex thought.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what we see here is evidence for just the opposite, that these folks, whoever they were, they even, the evolutionists put them in a different species and say that they're cousins of ours. Mm-hmm. But all the evidence that we are seeing, and three are pointed out in this particular article, all the evidence that we were seeing is that these folks were human, fully human, always were human, and they are Homo sapiens just like we were, are. We still are, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not sure I want to be, but I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we are devolving, so maybe we'll devolve into
something. Well, again, this goes back to your theory of devolution, which we ascribe to fully here at Broken Road Radio, and that is we're getting dumber by the generation. I've seen reality TV. I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think well, very much so.
Honey Boo Boo and Big Mama and forgotten the guy she got married to, but they had an actual real life wedding, and the minister was wearing a leaf suit. One of these
Leaf suit.
Well, yeah, it's a leaf suit. You can buy them at Fleet Farm and in most sporting goods stores as well, but. But the suit is colored in camouflage, but then it has little pieces of cloth that flow outward from mm-hmm. it all over the
Break
place.
Break up the outlines, yeah.
Yeah, and you look like a big pile of leaves.
Oh yeah,
so,
I've seen.
So the minister, yep. Yeah, the minister was wearing a leaf suit. I had a thought, while I was looking at the article, how much of Etsy was, I mean, how much did he have of the Neanderthal genes? And Neanderthal is pronounced that way because it's a German valley.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a German
word. It's a place, yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's a place. That's where one of the original, one of the first bodies found or remains found was discovered. But I've been curious about whether or not Etsy was Neanderthal. And it says that, that there are some researchers that believe he was. And there are a number of researchers that also say that the Neanderthal gene, which is Fox 9-2, I think it is.
Oh.
Something like that, but they've identified it. And it's very prevalent in Eastern Europe. And, there are a lot of Neanderthal-looking people in Tuscany. And they happen to have a high prevalence of this particular gene.
Now, Neanderthals, Dr. Don, were judged to be kind of subhuman. Why? Because they found bones. What were the characteristics that led people to their scientists to describe them as maybe primitive or subhuman?
Well, because they had, for example, their brow bones were prominent, and they looked. They looked more primitive, so
more first, ape and more ape-like,
and more yeah more.
I mean, that's hard to say, but that, but is that what we're getting at here? They reminded the paleontologists or the anthropologists of gorillas and chimpanzees.
Yes, but they had a tremendous brain cavity. Mm-hmm. They had a much larger brain cavity than chimpanzees or mm-hmm. or other apes. Well, so they had to be in a different class.
Yeah.
But here's the point about that. I mean, and also they thought that they lived in caves. Now, we've subsequently found that Neanderthals did not live in caves. They used the caves for burial, much like, you know, ancient Israel did in other cultures, you know, since that time. So
Which tends to say that they valued family and lived in societal, well-planned organizations.
Right, and they valued their dead, and they mm-hmm. honored them by not necessarily preserving them, but by having a burial site for them, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. So they were certainly advanced and very much human. And the thing about the brow bones and the facial features that they had. If all of us would start to develop those as we get older, and if we lived long enough, then our brow bones become more prominent than obviously when we're teenagers or young mm-hmm. adults. It's just a feature that our bones continue to grow, not necessarily upward and outward, but. They continue to grow, and so, our hips may be getting bigger, mm-hmm. they grow in other areas, and the brow is one of them. So just because you've got a prominent brow does not necessarily mean that you're a different species or anything else. As a matter of fact, we've got very much evidence of peoples that have these features. And we don't necessarily call them, primitive or a cousin of us. They are actually fully human, and the features that were initially thought to be, in quote, primitive or more ape-like, they're very much a part of society today.
Now, when were the Neanderthals supposed to have lived?
About... I'm going to use the evolutionary time scale mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. But about 50,000 years ago, they're thinking that they were up in the Europes, or up in Europe, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they predated, modern day Europeans, by probably thousands of years, if you will. And, but if you look at this from a biblical perspective, and it's interesting that we obviously the Neanderthals used animal skins for coverings. I mean, where do we see that in the Bible? Where did that concept come from?
Well, right out of the garden.
Right. Well, out of the out of the garden, and when God was. When Adam and Eve first fell in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve clothed themselves with leaves. God says, where are you, Adam? And when Adam finally admits, that we're hiding, mm-hmm. and God asks him, well, did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat? And, they had to admit it. And the first thing that God does is to slay an animal. Now, I'm of the opinion that it was probably a lamb. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but it probably was a lamb, and blood was shed. Mm-hmm. The first shedding of blood for the, for the forgiveness of sin, if you will. And he made clothes for them out of animal skins. So, by the fact that these folks had animal skins and were using them, for clothing, I think links them, very close to an event that probably, took place, not long after man, sinned and became corrupt, if you will. And these were certainly post-flood peoples that moved into that area relatively quickly after the flood.
Well, what a beautiful picture that paints of God using the skin of a lamb to clothe Adam and Eve. And who knows, we don't have the evidence, but God, I know God to be a poet.
Oops.
That would make ultimate sense.
Did I lose you?
Nope, I can hear you. We okay? Don, did you? Are you there? We're going to lose Don again, I think.
That's too bad.
Bummer. We just had some more good questions to ask here, but we're just about out of time anyway. So let's try him one more time here. I'm going to hang up and see if we can raise Don, get him back on the line. And see here. We're one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. You can't hear this on the air, but Skype is trying to raise Dr. Don again. Because I was curious about dating, if we have bones of Neanderthals. And we've talked about carbon dating here and some of the fallacies and some of the liabilities and weaknesses of it. But I'm wondering, surely these must have been applied to the Neanderthal bones too, or the animal bones that were found in the caves. I guess we're not going to be able to get Dr. Don back. Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back to music here. Maybe we can catch him for a few more minutes. He's a busy guy. He can't spend all day with us, so we'll do our best. Right now, Janet Paschal sings at about 22 minutes before the hour. It's music from Janet Paschal. She calls it Sweet Life. And it's 17 and a half minutes now before the new hour. Dr. Don is back with us. We managed to reconnect. And Don, when we were so rudely interrupted there when the call was dropped, we were talking about the age of the Neanderthals. And I'm looking at this article at am.org, which again we'll include a link to when we post the podcast today. But they're saying that Neanderthals disappeared between 30,000 and 24,000 years ago. Now, how would that age have been determined? Science or speculation?
Well, a little bit of science. I mean, they probably did some carbon dating on, you know, the more, and I don't know how you would determine what's more recent than others, other than doing, you know, some type of dating, you know, procedure on bones that you would find. It was probably carbon dating, which at those ages would have been relatively, accurate. So to speak. I mean,
I thought carbon dating couldn't go back that far. I mean, it's a matter of a few thousand years. What, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10,000 years?
Well.
Uh-oh, he's gone silence. Again. The I might be able to shed some light on this.
They're, okay.
The Neanderthals. Now the current theory, or the current theory as it's being reworked, suggest that the tribe became extinct in Spain, along the Iberian Peninsula. And because of the warmer climate, there is a key protein that's used in radiocarbon dating that erodes quickly. It doesn't last as long. So they're unsure. Scientists are unsure about the exact time that Neanderthals walked the earth. And it's very possible that it could have been not just cousins, but the same species. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, and I'd have to look at it a little bit further, but I'm not sure that there's, if you just look at the pictures of them and the models, they look like, folks from Pittsburgh or steel workers. I mean, they don't look all that ordinary or out of the ordinary from a large number of people who are living today. As the article that I was reading about Etsy suggests that he had more Neanderthal genetic structure than your average human being. And we all have some Neanderthal genetic structure.
Well, that explains a few things then. Okay. Yeah. We'll take a vote here. We've lost Dr. Don. He's disappeared. So, between you and I, all those in favor of reclassifying Neanderthals as fully human, raise your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's 2-4, let's make it unanimous then.
It's unanimous.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good news. I'm glad we were able to resolve that. I wish we could resolve the problems with, with Don's internet. Well, he's switching companies. Somebody competent is coming to Texas to do the job. Hopefully next week will be a lot better with him. Beach Boys continues the music for us.
Over the ocean, moonlight still on the sea.